Psalm 103, the text that we will meditate upon for a few minutes this morning is verse 11. We experience this morning the means of grace. The primary one is the preaching of the gospel. That's why every time we partake of communion, we always begin with hearing God's word. That's primary. And then this gospel that is confirmed will then be confirmed in the sacrament. So we hear the gospel preached first this morning, and we'll read Psalm 103. The text will be verse 11. The word of God at Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We read God's word that far. It's the 11th verse that we meditate upon this morning. Verse 11 reads this way: For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, later in the worship service this morning, we will read again the first half of Psalm 103. That's because the form that we use to celebrate communion quotes at the very end the first half of this psalm. It's appropriate then to pull a verse from this psalm to consider for a few minutes this morning before we partake of communion. After I chose this verse to preach on for the worship service this morning, I debated whether or not to read this psalm in light of the fact that we will hear it read again at the end of the worship service. I didn't debate for very long, though, because this psalm, 103, is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. It's one of those psalms that we can't hear enough. It's okay to hear it a couple of times, even in the course of the same worship service. It's one of those psalms that you almost don't even need to hear explained. You simply let the Spirit's word soak into our hearts and souls as we receive comfort and encouragement from this portion of God's word. It's a marvelous psalm. A psalm that extols the great work of God in saving us from all of our sins. Obviously, this morning we will do more than simply hear it read from God's Word. We'll hear a portion of it explained as well. The beautiful 11th verse, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." It's marvelous how God teaches us about these truths. He doesn't simply say, "I'm a God of mercy, and I have mercy towards you." But He shows us the greatness of that mercy. He says, "This is how great my mercy is, as high as the heavens are above the earth." This morning, we will be comforted, and we will gain insurance from learning about this great mercy of God. We take that as the theme of the text, the great mercy of God. That's the main idea of this text. The main clause setting forth the main idea is when the verse says, "So great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." Whenever we consider one of these grand truths like love or grace, as we are today, mercy, the place that we must begin is with God Himself. And we need to understand that before God created the heavens and the earth, before God created any human being, God has always been eternally a God of mercy. We start with God because when we start with God, then we have a right understanding of this truth of mercy. We do well to start that way because that's even what's referred to in the previous verses of Psalm 103. Notice that in verse 7 and 8, David draws on the history of Moses and Israel to set forth this truth of who God is. He says in verse 7 and 8, "He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." When David does that, he's referring back to the history of Israel, and we can even pinpoint somewhat when he is referring to. In Exodus chapter 32, we have the history of Moses while he's in Mount Sinai receiving the law from God. You children know that history well. When Moses came down from the mountain, what did he see? He saw the abominable sin of Israel and the worship of the golden calf and a host of other sins that were being committed at that time. We read of a beautiful act that Moses did after that. He was grieved in his heart. He interceded on behalf of Israel, pointing to the great intercessory work of Jesus Christ. Right after that, in Exodus 33, Moses talks with God. And Moses says to God, "God, show me Thy glory." And when we understand what God's glory is, and God's glory really is the sum perfection of who He is, really what Moses was saying to God was this: "God, show me who Thou art. Tell me who Thou art." The next day, God did that to Moses. He brought him up in the mountain again, and He showed him, not by showing His face, but he saw the backside of God pass along the cleft of the rock. We read in that passage that couldn't see His face. No man can see the face of God and live. And then God proclaimed what He saw. This is who I am. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous and mercy. The point is this. Moses said, "Who art thou?" And God said, "This is who I am, the God of mercy." God, apart from anyone else, anything else, is a God of mercy. What then is mercy? Mercy begins with an attitude or an action of having pity upon one who is downcast. Sometimes pity can have a negative connotation to it, and so maybe a better way to say it is mercy is the desire to lift someone up who is down, bring them up. God, in and of Himself, is a God of mercy. And that right there indicates that there must be something more to the idea of mercy than simply pity upon one who is down. It has to be that, because God is merciful even within Himself as the triune God. But no person in the triune God need be pitied. Not one of them is downcast and needs this attitude of pity to be lifted up. And that's why that's not even the main idea of mercy. The pity that you have on someone else simply serves the purpose of the main idea of mercy, which is to lift up and to exalt and to magnify and glorify. That's why God, in and of Himself, is a God of mercy. In and of Himself, He has that as His desire, that He Himself, the three persons of the Trinity, would be lifted up and glorified and magnified. The one, the pity, serves the purpose of the second aspect of mercy. God in Himself is merciful, but that's not even the main idea of this text, because the text emphasizes the mercy of God towards us. So great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And when we look at the mercy of God towards us, those same two elements are in play. God's mercy towards us is His attitude of pity, His desire to help those who are downcast. That implies that we are in a helpless and we are in a miserable state. But our helplessness and our misery is not like the homeless man that we see on the side of the road who has absolutely nothing. We may have pity on that man. That's not our misery and helplessness. Of course not. We know what our misery is. It's all of those words found in this text. It's our iniquities. It's our transgressions. It's our sin. It's the fact that apart from this mercy of God, we are dead in sin. The fact that we are totally deserving, therefore, of hell itself. In that state, that miserable state, God looked down upon us and had mercy upon us, desired to lift us up out of that misery. And that right there shows an amazing aspect of the mercy of God. We may have mercy, have a desire to help that homeless man on the side of the road. But more often than not, that homeless man did nothing personally against us. But look at God's mercy. He had mercy upon us in our sin. And what was that sin? Every time we sinned against God and do sin against God, it's a personal attack upon who God is. and a direct manifestation of hatred for God. Even in that, God had mercy upon us. How? It's everything that we have pictured for us this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. God was merciful to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all of those sins that put us in our state of misery were taken from us and lifted and put upon the Lord Jesus Christ, so that He endured that on the cross, and so that we could be freed from and lifted up out of that state of misery, and then brought to the next step of being exalted, being made members of the kingdom of God, being numbered among God's children, having the absolute assurance that when we die, we will not go to hell, but we will be brought into the exalted heights of life with God. It's a mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our sins are removed as far as east is from west, and we are lifted up in life with God. God is merciful to us. But the point of the text is to show us that this mercy is great. So great is His mercy toward them that fear us. That's the emphasis. The Spirit wants to impress upon us the greatness of God's mercy. There are so many reasons this mercy is great. We can give four of them. In the first place, the greatness of God's mercy is evident from the fact that it required the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about your own children. Think about the one that you love most in this life. And think about giving that person up for the sake of someone else. That's what God did. His own Son, His only begotten Son, that He loved perfectly, who Himself was sinless, God gave Him to the death of the cross for you and for me. Beloved, it's a great mercy, because it's a mercy that required the death of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. In the second place, the greatness of this mercy is evident from the fact that we were nothing when God gave us this mercy. We alluded to this earlier, but this drives home the point all the more. This demonstrates the greatness of God's mercy. The fact that we were undeserving sinners who hated God. So great a mercy towards us that God, while we were in that state, lifted us up to be with Him. Great mercy indeed. In the third place, the greatness of this mercy is evident from the fact that God gives us the most beautiful and greatest gift that could ever be given. We may have mercy on that homeless man on the side of the road. We may show mercy to that man. Pull out a half a candy bar from our pocket and give him a bottle of water. That's helping the man in his miserable state, and he should be thankful for that. But that's not great mercy. Half a candy bar and a bottle of water? Great mercy would be doing a lot for that man in his need, helping him get back on his feet and all the rest. The greatness of the mercy is evident from what we have as a result of that mercy. The greatest thing that we could ever be given, which is salvation and life with God. Great mercy indeed. And last, the greatness of this mercy is evident from the fact that it is a powerful mercy. And that really is the main idea of that word great. It refers to power. And that can be related to the three things that we just said. God is powerful to accomplish what He wants to accomplish by His mercy. Homeless man, we may want to have mercy on him. We may want to lift him up out of that misery, but we may not necessarily have the power to do that. To liquidate all of our funds and give them all to him so that he could be lifted up and have a good life here on this earth. We're not always in a position to accomplish what we want to do in our mercy towards another person here on this earth. That's humanly speaking. God's mercy is powerful. It accomplishes what He sets out to accomplish. So that what we celebrate this morning in the death of Jesus Christ actually, in fact, does cover our sins, so that they are removed as far as east is from west. So that what Jesus Christ did for us does in fact lift us up and give us life with God. God's mercy is so great because it is powerful to accomplish the purposes of God. The psalmist sets forth this great mercy of God. And he doesn't simply say, I'm a God of mercy, and this mercy is great. But he shows us. And he says, this is how great. As high as the heavens are above the earth. Just go outside and look up. And that's how great my mercy is. Sometimes we do that on a clear night. Go out with our children and simply stare into the sky for a few minutes. See the stars. See the clearness of the night. See very, very far. The human eye cannot even perceive how far that is. And eventually, you get to the point where you can't see any farther. It's absolutely amazing to consider how high the heavens are above the earth. From a human point of view, it's mind-boggling. And in a certain sense, from a human point of view, it's infinite. You can't see the end, and that's the point. So great, infinitely great, is the mercy of God. This is something that we can appreciate all the more even with our means of modern technology. Not so long ago, I watched a speech by a man who had as the main point of his speech to show the absolute expanse of the universe in which we live. And his point was, this was our God. He created this unbelievably expansive universe in which the earth and in which we are found. It's amazing what technology has allowed us to understand about the universe in which we live. A moment ago I said that from a human point of view it is infinite, the heavens above the earth. We will never with our own eyes see the end, but it's not infinite. There's an end. The earth is not infinite. There is an end to the universe. But the greatest of technologies will never reach that end. So expansive, so high are the heavens above the earth that God takes that and He says, this is my mercy, my great mercy towards you. I love these types of verses because when we consider these verses, when you go outside this week and you're with your children, you can say to your children, do you remember the sermon this past Sunday morning? Just look up. Look at what God created. Look at how high the heavens are above this earth. And we are always reminded of who our God is and the mercy that He displays to us in Jesus Christ. Wonderful pictures that we have in the creation in which we live. That mercy of God is great. And that mercy of God is not for all men. Very clearly in the text defines who receives this mercy of God. It's towards them that fear Him. God's mercy is not for all men. God's mercy is for those who fear Him. God fears. You hear that word fear, and what must not come to mind first is the idea of being afraid. Those who are afraid of God, fear in that sense. There's an element of truth to that idea. In a certain sense, we must fear God in that sense. When we understand God's hatred of sin, God's judgment upon sin, there is an element of fear. But that's not the main idea of the word fear in the Old Testament. God fears are God lovers. The mercy of God is for those who love God. Do you love God? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you fear the Lord? And I trust you say yes to those questions in your heart. Then this mercy, as we described it in a few minutes this morning, is for you. Because God first loved us. God loved you. You, in response, love Him. And therefore, you can know in your heart and be assured in your heart and be confirmed by the sacrament this morning that this mercy of God is for you. That the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom God's mercy is revealed, died for you. Partake in faith this morning, beloved. Partake in faith so that when you eat that bread and you drink that wine, you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and praise the Lord in your heart for the fact that He died for me. That He did that out of His love for me. A love that was so great that He died on that cross. This is the mercy of God, beloved. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. Say to yourself, as we partake in faith, toward me, a mercy toward me, a great sinner, but a great sinner saved by a greater mercy. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father,